You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning to you, Mike McNamara for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, here on your home for that, the All Warrior Radio Network. I tell everybody how cool it is to be me, and I say that with all the seriousness that I can say. Yesterday just bombs into my, bombs into my phone, okay? Out of nowhere, okay? And this is why I encourage you, go to the website, download the three goals and the eight commandments of post-traumatic winning, and leave it on your phone, because you can have this happen to you just like I do. Mac, since we talked, my life has looked up a lot. Getting my story out feels like a higher weight has been lifted. I've been walking taller, speaking more confidently. I got myself back on the gym grind, and I felt like I have stopped treading water. That just bombs into your phone, like out of the blue, on a Thursday morning. And so, I offer that to you because you can have the same experience. The wisdom of our culture, if you pay attention to the lessons that come out of our culture and giving those to people that are struggling, you can change their lives. And it's the coolest experience in the world. And honestly, when I started All Marine Radio, you know, I hope to have some effect on, you know, on people. I never dreamed, honestly, that what's happening would happen. I just hope to contribute in some marginal way and maybe have an impact. And let me tell you, it's beyond that. So memo to yourself, if you do not have the three goals and the eight commandments on your phone, get them there. Get them there. And it's just a great experience to have your day lifted and to have your spine stiffened and your spirit enhanced by somebody who's now doing that for other people because you crossed paths with them and you told the truth and you used your experience in a positive way. And on a weekend that we recall those experiences, it gives them meaning. It gives them purpose. And in their sacrifice, you know, we help people find a better place. And I think that's fitting and it's suitable for their sacrifice. So anyway, good morning to you on that note. And that stuff just, you know, bombs into my phone. Who's this? Oh, what did I have to say? Oh, like, how great is my day going to be now? Well, I don't know, but it's going to be a hell of a lot better than it was going to be. And it was going to be good to start with. So, again, because this stuff happens to me all the time. So, again, I offer it to you to share, especially this weekend when if you're a veteran or if you're around veterans, I mean, there's a lot of pain in the air. So, so don't be afraid to stick your hand out and help people. So, the Memorial Day 2019. I always think it's good to kind of go back and how did Memorial Day even begin? Do you know the story of Memorial Day? Most people don't. I didn't. Do you know the story behind Gold Star families? And I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. This is a reminder. This is not Veterans Day. This is not Armed Forces Weekend. Okay? This is Memorial Day. It is a very specific holiday. Honoring those who died in the service of our country. Whether they be in war or were killed in, you know, while serving in some other way. Whether training or in a car accident. Ultimately, what led to their death was their service. It either put them in a place that something bad happened or put them in a combat zone where something bad happened as well. So that's what this weekend's all about. It is not thank you for your service weekend. Although, I mean, you could say that anytime you want to. But just remember that. This is a weekend that we all should go out of our way to remember, those people who became Gold Star families. And so we'll talk about Memorial Day here for a few minutes, and then the chef will join us. We'll talk about food a little bit. I got an email a little bit ago from the one and only Bob Nielsen, and Bob is going to be honored by the Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation for mentoring wounded veterans for the past 17 years. So he's going to be honored in August. So at some point we'll drag his ass back on here. I asked him if he was going to supply the pizza. And he said that's how he'd get vets to come, free pizza. And he said, of course, I'm going to supply the Long Island pizza. So anyway, no, you don't... you're going to hear an interview I did with General Dennis Halick, the second installment of the On Discipline series. And, next week, very cool. So on Tuesday, we'll do Battlefield Study, and that'll be Gunner Tim Galinas, who was a PFC at Contien. And we talked about, yesterday we talked about peer warfare, and Contien comes up because that was the last time the battles, Contien was in the middle of them, but in the northern part of I Corps, when the United States fought a pier that would close with it. And so you're going to hear from Gunner Galinas. And so what it was like to be a PFC. What it was like to be a PFC. There's a whole series of maps that will go up with it, like is our custom, so that you can, when, you know, we talk about different places, you know, for instance, Leatherneck Square, you know, what did that look like? Where was it? Well, it's easy once you see it on a map. Okay, I got it. Right. Okay, Quezon, Camp Carroll, the Rock Pile, all these Vietnam places, right? So you can get fluent in Vietnam by looking at a map pretty quick. And there's There's a pretty cool map from 3MAF, 3MAF at the time, Marine Amphibious Corps. But pretty cool map that all the AOs, all the areas of responsibility, the Kentucky AO, right? And so you'll see those in there, and then you'll see all the firm bases, and then the larger bases, Dong Ha and Quang Tri. And so, that's on Tuesday. On Wednesday, you'll hear Lieutenant General Halick, who I mentioned this, but, you know, were it not for Dennis Halick and were it not for Bob Nielsen, you know, I would, if you asked me who is the Mount Rushmore of all Marine radio, Halick brings me on active duty. He's the general officer on the board that looking at, Marines wanting to be reappointed to serve in the Marine Corps. So you got out, and then even your time in the reserves that you're obligated to do once you get out, when you get out short of retiring, that's up. So you're like out. All right. So if you want to come back in, you have to reapply. So, I did, and I got a phone call that said, yeah, we're not going to you're going to be in the pile that is not recommended to be brought back on active duty. For whatever reason. And mine was, it was something to do with retirement. And I don't know, I don't know if I even understood what they were telling me because I was pretty shocked that they said, that I was not coming back on active duty, and a major by the name of Miller. And then I got a phone call a week later, telling me that I was going to be brought back on active duty, that General Halick, who was the general officer, brigadier general at the time, in charge of the board, rejected the board's recommendation and was bringing me back on active duty. So were it not for General Halick, I mean, I would not be here today. And then were it not for Bob Nielsen, this program wouldn't be on. And so Bob Nielsen, I mean, to me, they can't honor him enough. He was the guy when he heard All Marine Radio, and he heard that we were going to talk about it. And he knew that that was the thing that coming out of Vietnam that they didn't do, that they didn't talk about it. And if you want to get Nielsen geeked up, ask him about, when you see him, ask him about the group of people that he gets together to talk about Vietnam in the, housing development that he lives in. He said they're this extremely diverse group whose lives were all impacted by the Vietnam War. Some were protesters. Some fought. Some were family members. Some lost family members. And you should hear him talk about how much he learns and how incredible the experience is by getting people together to talk. So Bob saw very quickly what All Marine Radio could be and knew that it was something that was going to be incredibly necessary. And so he's on Mount Rushmore of All Marine Radio as well. So there you have it. All right. In terms of people that made it happen, Whitney Houston's going to sing the national anthem. We're gonna go through a little bit of history of Memorial Day, just so you know this story. And we're also gonna do a little bit of history of, the Gold Star, how that became a symbol of the Gold Star Mother and the Gold Star, ultimately the Gold Star family. So we'll do a little history lesson. We'll check a few news headlines, as we get ready to send everybody off. And reminder, right? Leave early, drive slow, get where you're going, drive defensively. Yeah, Colleen's learning how to drive. Dad, what does drive defensively mean? So, you know, we're talking driving. So I can't remember where we were driving the other day. And, you know, we were talking, I said, so, I mean, what is drive defensively, right? It's even though you have the right of way, make sure you look because some idiot and bigger than shit, it happened. The other day, I was actually driving, we were talking, and somebody completely not paying attention just blows through a red light that's been red, not like yellow red. It's been red and other cars are moving. And just whether they were had their head down and texting or whatnot, sailed right through. And but for the grace of God, you know, kill somebody. So So I'm teaching driving again, or at least helping out teaching driving. As Colleen learns how to drive, but leave early. I know I'm supposed to go to a friend of mine. They're having retired this week. Lieutenant Colonel Rich Elaine. Metro's his call sign. He was our air officer. He and Kurt Knowles, F-18 guy, who you hear, you've heard on this program before, were air officers in Afghanistan. So, his wife, the lovely Sally, is having a party tonight. So headed down towards, San Marcos from Orange County. So you got to go down to 5. And I'll tell you this, going down I-5, on Friday during the summer is a below average experience. Okay. Going down I-5 Memorial Day weekend on that Friday has a chance to be an unmitigated disaster. So I think the prudent thing to do is you take the 73, right, which is a toll road, and that gets you to San Juan Capistrano thereabouts. You drive down to the Cristianitos exit and you get off there and you go on base. And you cut through base to go to San Marcos because I-5 is going to be a parking lot. Yeah, Friday going down to San Diego. And officially kicking off the summer around most of the country, although the weather here is a little bit cooler. So do that tonight. And then going to do some book writing over the weekend and watch the Yankees and do some yard work. So Memorial Day. Yeah, for a lot of people, not a pleasant weekend. Some people embrace it, and I think it depends where you are with your biorhythms this time of year. And so I know friends that some year they do, some year they don't, and it's just which way the mood is, the winds are blowing through their soul. So anyway, again, a reminder, this is not Armed Forces Weekend, okay? This is not Veterans Day. This is not thank you for your service. This is reaching out and touching those families who live with the death of a family member and making sure that you tell them we will never forget. We'll never forget your sacrifice, what you've endured. We will never forget the sacrifice of your son, daughter, husband, brother, or whoever. Because I talked to General Kelly recently. Within the last month, asked him, I had a couple questions for him, so I called him up. And, he's an awesome guy. He's a funny guy. But he's, obviously smart and extremely thoughtful. And, one of the things I'll never forget, General Kelly said, and I've said this before, but, after his son was killed, when he was talking about his son, he said, as the assistant division commander and as companion general of forces in Iraq, I wrote letters to people telling them that I had 3 children and I knew the pain that they felt. And he said, today I want to apologize to every one of the families that I wrote that to because I had no idea the pain that you felt. I do today and it's crushing. And so I talked to him recently. And, and he told me, he said, the biggest thing Gold Star families worry about is that, the life that their son or daughter or husband or wife gave or brother or sister, whatever, however you're connected, that life will have been given for naught, that the goals that the nation laid out the reason for going there will not be achieved. And so the anguish that Gold Star families from Vietnam felt, if you can imagine that, as they watched, videotape of, Saigon falling, and that their loved one wasn't coming, would never come home. And that thing didn't go the way we planned it. And that's not supposed to happen, right? When you require that sacrifice, you're as the United States of America, you're supposed to make that happen. So, you know, that was one of the things he said. He said, and the second thing is that they'll be forgotten. And so, so while we cannot do anything about national policy, the one thing we can all do something about is to reach out to the families who we know that have lost somebody and make sure they know that they're in our thoughts and prayers, that we are here for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's as good as, that's as much as you can do. All right. And so that they, so those General Kelly's two comments to me. One, and you've heard General Furness talk, or I don't know if you've heard, if he said it on this program, but when he introduces post-traumatic winning, he talks about making phone calls to the over 100 Marines that have been killed in action under his command. And being tormented by the thought that the nation may make him a liar. And then he explains that. What I've told them is we will make their sacrifice count. And he says, and I read the paper, and he said, are we gonna leave Afghanistan? Are we gonna leave Iraq? I don't know. He said, but it causes me no small amount of distress to think that those words that I told them may not be true, and they may think less of me. And he said, you know, that bothers me. Bothers me a great deal. And so, but you know what? There's nothing that operational people can do about that, that those decisions get made at higher levels. But my point is this. This weekend is not about thank you for your service. This weekend is not about military families, right? This weekend is about Gold Star families. They pay the price. And so if you know one, if you're tangentially connected to one, make sure you reach out to them and make sure that you honor their sacrifice and the sacrifice of their loved one. So we should all be laser focused on that. Right? It is not thank you for your service weekend. Email. Did you ask him when his book is going to come out? I did not. Although we had an interesting conversation, I will say that. That's as much as I'll tell you, is that we had a pretty interesting conversation. And I will tell you the one, I will share one thing he told me with you. He said, you know, I didn't realize how spent I was, you know, the hours, the intensity, and it just nonstop, you know, nonstop. It certainly takes its toll on you. And he said, I didn't even realize that till after, you know, I left and I started to come back physically he said, and probably mentally and emotionally too, in some way, shape, or form. Just the toll that thing takes on you. So anyway, interesting. All right. So it's Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning on the eve of Memorial Day weekend. Good morning to you. Who's And this is dedicated to Gold Star families out there who live with somebody else's decision to serve. And one day had somebody come up to their door and knock on their door and tell them that that person would never come home again. And they live with that. They live with that every day. And so this is dedicated to them. It's dedicated to the children of Gold Star, of those of our members of the armed forces that have been killed, not just in our wars, but while on active duty or in the reserves, mobilized or whatnot, and their children who've grown up without a parent and obviously didn't have any say. And, you know, and in my mind today, you know, people like Ronnie Reyes, who father was killed at Quezon, his mother placed him on the glass that laid over the top of his coffin at the funeral. And she did that because she knew that was the closest he would ever be to his father. And he tells that story, and it's heartbreaking. And, you know, Ronnie came on, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and talked about finding an organization called Gold Star Children of Vietnam Veterans. And on Father's Day, in Washington, D.C., they gather as a group. They make Father's Day cards because most of them never did that in their lives. And they make Father's Day cards, and they're allowed to clean the wall. I think it's one of the only the one or two groups that are allowed to do that. They're allowed to clean the wall, the Vietnam Wall. And that's how they spend Father's Day. So this is dedicated to Gold Star families in this country who paid the price and live with it. And may God hold you in his hand, and may he keep that hand close to his heart.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. See what it's like around the country. Currently, it is sunny and 80 in Quantico. That's nice. Sunny and 87 in Camp Lejeune. Sunny and, wow, the weather god, she loves, she loves Memorial Day weekend. And well, she should. Sunny and 62 in 29 Palms, sunny and 58 at Camp Pendleton, dark, cloudy in Honolulu, the home of Camp, well, not actually the home, but near Camp Smith in Hawaii, clear, dark in 69 in Okinawa, in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is 104 degrees late in the day. Yeah. So that means it was 115, which is, I think, probably the average temperature for June. When it gets robust, up to 120s. Yep. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, the home of Task Force Southwest and Brigadier General Dale Alford, it is clear, dark, and 82 degrees early in the evening in Afghanistan. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 59 here in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California. Now, let me just tell you, I think, now with the exception of it's dark in Honolulu in Hawaii, right? Every place that I track the weather is sunny. Never happened. So what does that mean? I don't really know. I don't really know. But go to Vegas. Something good might happen. Today, sunny and 70. Tomorrow, sunny and 66 on Sunday, rain and 60. What? Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the weather, but it's going to be sunny today, so what the hell. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Memorial Day. I'm going to make you smart about the origins of both Memorial Day, which is interesting, and how gold stars came to be known. Came to be associated with the loss of somebody while serving. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I am Colleen's dad, by the way.
I want to walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all.
I'm Peyton Davis's friend and fellow tribal member.
I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally.
I want to talk about Memorial Day and where it comes from. A couple of things. I want you to follow somebody on Twitter. All right. I think a lot of you who listen have heard Ken Rogers on this program. If you've seen his, if you've seen Bravo, if you haven't seen Bravo, you should watch it. You can watch it on Amazon.Prime. I think it's free. If you're a member, you can rent it for, I don't know, $5 or whatever the hell you rent it for. I would tell you to do that. It's awesome. Their second effort, he and the lovely Betty Rogers, but their second effort is called I Married the War. And so do me a favor and follow it on Twitter. Okay. So, I Married the War, all one word. Okay. I Married, M-A-R-R-I-E-D, the War, all one word. Do me a favor and follow them and help spread, you know, help spread that story. Because they did, I mean, their first effort was great. You know their second effort's going to be better because they'll be better. And the subject matter is not one that gets front and center. And that is, I married Romeo, and what happened was he went to war. I became a caregiver for life. And it's their story. And so I would ask you to help them tell their story. And again, that's not just a military story. That happens around this country, like trauma, to different people who live like that. And it's important to tell that story so that we can reach out and support them and hopefully make their lives better. While I was looking at that on Twitter, two other things crossed my radar. One, Nick Francona and I share similar roots. Our fathers both made their living in Major League Baseball. Terry Francona still manages the Cleveland Indians. Nick and I both officers in the Marine Corps. Nick, an Afghanistan guy. But he's written on professional sports use of uniforms or whatnot during, you know, Memorial Day weekend, Veterans Day weekend when the NFL does it. And their lack of financial responsibility to those things that they promote. So to me, in my opinion, if you're going to use those uniforms, the lion's share of those proceeds ought to go to organizations, and you ought to disclose that. So I saw that, and I believe it is worth a mention. All right, I believe it is worth a mention to keep an eye on that. And if you're in the mood, bust off an email to somebody and say, hey, I'm concerned. You do this, yet you don't disclose where the money goes. Can you explain that and then explain to me where the money goes? So it's kind of gross. And I saw while I was looking at that, right below it was a tweet by Kyle Carpenter. And in kind of the world of small worlds, I mentioned tonight I'll go to a retirement for Rich Elaine. But every time I see Kyle Carpenter, I smile because I know that the reason he's alive is because of the hard work that that the Marines of Regimental Combat Team 1 did. Our air officers asked our dust-off pilots, who flew a lot of medevacs for us and were co-located with us, if they would mind when we got a call for a medevac, instead of waiting maybe 10 minutes until the requisite information was all gathered and they were tasked, because we knew that they would probably be tasked because of the location of the casualty relative to where the helicopters were. It would more than likely go to them. If they would mind going and turning their birds as soon as the initial call was made and not waiting 10 minutes until the tactical action officer who can launch aircraft, the only one in the map that says, you go do this, until they got tasked. Well, that's about 10 minutes. And if you read about Cal Carpenter's medevac, the only reason that he survived was because of how quickly he was moved to a medical facility. And Rich Elaine, whose party I'll go to tonight, he and Kurt Knowles were the guys that did that. And so we convinced that was part of it, right? They would go. And then what we did with our battalions was we said, give us the information you have and don't be afraid to fill in the blanks and lean into it. Well, what does that mean? Okay, well, we need five elements, right, to launch the aircraft. And that's what we got to do. We could unscrew them once they're in the air. The five elements are the grid coordinate, so you'll have that. The call sign, whether the LZ is hot or cold, right, whether there's shooting going on in the LZ. The nature of the wounds, right, and the number of the wounds, right? So those five elements, okay? So you're going to know the call sign. You're going to know the grid, like, automatically, okay? Nature of the wound most often is going to be IDs, right, two extremities, okay? So you can fill that in almost automatically. So they're going to be shrapnel wounds, two extremities. So that'll be the description. Got that? And so we would walk them through how to do these five elements. And then what we want is we want that right away, so that bird can get launched. And so the combination of getting units to give us those, not waiting to fill all nine lines in, give us the five that we need to launch the bird and then fill in the rest, because you're going to have another 10 to 12 minutes, depending on where they are in the AO and the time of flight. But normally it was about 10-minute flight for the aircraft. And so that system that we coached and that our air officers, you know, kind of put together, and we would coach that on a daily basis, right? You know, hey, I need this right now, right? And then pick up the phone and call down and say, look, if you don't know it, guess. Okay, got it. Right? You can unscrew it as soon as you know, but guess. Your guess is going to be pretty close. And they, you know, and so then once they learned, and it took them maybe about a month for everybody who was in that chain to learn, then we ran the quickest medevacs in Afghanistan. And Kyle Carpenter's alive because of that. So pretty cool to see that. Talk about Memorial Day and talk about the Gold Star thing. So just a little bit of education for everybody on this weekend that we honor both of those. Memorial Day, right? As the Civil War neared its end, right, thousands of Union soldiers held as prisoners of war were herded into a series of hastily assembled camps in Charleston, South Carolina. Let me go to something else, all right? The earliest observance of Memorial Day. And let me give you a general history, and then we'll talk about how it evolved. But it evolves after the Civil War, starts after the Civil War. Different traditions in the North and the South. Those traditions are essentially consolidated, and states decide how they will deal with it. But it's the 30th of May, and it was chosen because that was not the anniversary of any one battle. So it was designed to honor everybody who fought in the Civil War. So, but, you know, this was kind of news to me, even today. It doesn't become a federal holiday until 1971. Yeah. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had become holding springtime tributes to the country's countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. Where it exactly started, over 20 towns claim that they are the birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1966, the federal government declared that Waterloo, New York, was the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Waterloo, which first celebrated the day on May 5, 1866, was chosen because it hosted an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. That evolves into Decoration Day. On May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, the leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land, he proclaimed. The date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day in 1868, General James Garfield, yeah, you've heard of him, made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. Many northern states held similar commemorative events and reprised the tradition in subsequent years. By 1890, each state had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor their dead on separate days until after World War I. Memorial Day, as Decoration Day gradually became known, originally honored only those lost while fighting in the Civil War. During World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday eventually came to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th, the date Logan had selected for the first Decoration Day, but in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. The change went into effect in 1971. The same law also declared Memorial Day to be a federal holiday. So there you have it. That is the history of Memorial Day. You know, honestly, I'm surprised. I thought it was a federal holiday forever. Evidently not. I want to talk about how the Gold Star came to represent that sacrifice. During World War I, a practice developed across the country. Family displayed flags featuring a blue star, a sign that a family member was fighting in the war. Some flags would display more than one star, which was emblematic of more than one person from that house or family serving. Just how the next tradition began is unclear. You know, this seems to be a constant theme, right? Of these traditions, that somehow or other they migrated. But when a soldier died, the blue star was replaced by a gold one. In 1918, President Woodrow Wilson approved a recommendation by the Women's Committee of the National Defense to wear a black armband with a gold star, an update on traditional signs of mourning. It's believed Wilson coined the term Gold Star Mother. Over time, two types of service flags were created. One banner had a white background, a red border, and a blue star. The other had a white background, blue border, and a gold star. In 1928, 25 mothers met in Washington, D.C. to establish a national organization called American Gold Star Mothers Incorporated. That organization exists to this day. In 1947, Congress authorized the military to issue Gold Star lapel pins to families of those who were killed in combat. In 1973, Congress approved another for families of service members who died while on active duty but not in combat. During World War II, the star flags were common sights across the country, often displayed in windows. That changed during the Vietnam War. During that unpopular conflict, when many Americans associated soldiers with government policies, many saw little value in displaying the blue or gold star flag. That attitude has changed in recent years. So they have a little bit of the history of what it is to be a Gold Star family and how the Gold Star mothers got going in this country. So again, I would just tell you that it's important that that we address the two concerns of General Kelly. And we can only really address one of them. One is that their loved ones' loss not be in vain, that the nation achieve what it set out to do. We have little control over that. And two, that they not be forgotten. We have control over that. So make sure that you write yourself a note. You reach out to the people that live with that pain. That this weekend will be a time of quiet time and I've had the privilege of presenting two flags, sadly both to the same woman, Char Pape from East Grand Forks, Minnesota, and her sons Ryan and Riley, both served in the Marine Corps. I met Riley in Ramadi in 2004, and he was killed on active duty in a motorcycle accident. He was a no-kidding American war hero. And Ryan was a senior in high school. I'd never met the family. The day that Riley was killed, I went over. I was supposed to meet them 2 weeks later in a place called Alvarado, Minnesota. And Riley and I were going to speak together at a Memorial Day event. And so I ultimately spoke at that. And I went over to their house that night and met Ron, the father, and Char, Riley's mom, and Ryan, who would ultimately be killed in a parachute accident at Camp Pendleton after deployments, multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan as a member of 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. Ryan was a senior in high school. His graduation was supposed to be later that week, and Riley was coming home for it, but never made it. Presenting flags to people you know, man, talk about a below-average experience and things that are blazed into your brain, and then have to do it a second time. First time was in May. The second time was in December. And I will tell you this, when Ryan was killed, OneMeth sent 40 Marines to the funeral. And, people from the Midwest had never seen anything like it. And it was important that they did that. It was important that they did that. So, so that's what this weekend is about. It's reaching out to those people, telling them that they're in your thoughts and prayers. And if there's anything you can do, please don't hesitate. So anyway, I remind you of that. All right. We're going to take a break. When, we come back, the chef will join us. So, don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio continues here, and we're going to talk about I got the chef fired up this week. I said, hey, I want to talk about stuffed jalapenos, you know, how to do them, you know, wrapped with bacon, what do you put in the stuffing, you know, I want to talk about portobello mushrooms, stuffing those, and that kind of stuff. He was like, he was all fired up. So we're going to talk about that. Coming up next here on a Friday edition, as we get the Memorial Day weekend kicking here on All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. The chef joins us next here on a Friday edition on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.